to make men holy. Let us live to make men free. While God is marching on.
Sing along if you know it.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. His truth.
Oh, girls, I missed you last week. Did you have a good time? While I was in Tahiti, don't I look tan? Just kidding. I wasn't in Tahiti. Okay, well, we are so blessed to have you guys here today and or tonight, whatever you want to call it, this morning, whatever. Some announcements for tonight. First of all, aren't you loving the Titus study? I love it. It's so good. I am learning so much. Harvest night is coming soon. I didn't check the date. I'm assuming it's October 31st. There you go. What an awesome opportunity for outreach for our community. I have always loved this event to turn a night of darkness into a night of light. What an awesome opportunity. So I want to encourage you guys to invite your friends, invite little neighborhood kids, invite everybody that you see, bring van loads of people, and then go back for more. Whatever you have to do, get people here. And it's an awesome opportunity to serve. See, I just shouldn't read. I'm not a reader. Except for books, just not announcements. They didn't let me do announcements in Paris. Did I ever tell anybody that? I don't know. I wasn't allowed to do announcements because I always forgot things and got them wrong. So this is my job. But anyway, for that night, we would love to have greeters. We need game booth helpers, we need face painters, and we need lots of candy. And in the email, that was in all caps. So I'm assuming that that was important. We need lots of candy. So if you want to help for that night, you can sign up in the courtyard after services on Sundays. And I don't think we have the courtyard on Wednesdays. I could be wrong, but I've never gone out there. It's dark and spooky. So you can sign up in the courtyard after services on Sunday. And if you're bringing in candy, you can drop it off at the front office. And Ashley promises she won't eat it all. Also, the pastor's wife's donations for the San Salvador trip are due October 24th. So if you have any donations, again, you can drop those off at the front office. I think that there's probably still flyers floating around somewhere where you can pick up the things that are needed. And you can take them to the front office and remember to specify on the bag San Salvador so it doesn't get given to a cute little homeless person in Vista. And the Christmas event is coming so soon. Can you guys believe it's the middle of October? That's so wild to me. Okay, I think I'm just getting older, but it's going so fast. Anyway, so it's almost Christmas, so start buying your presents and shopping. But the Christmas Women's Event is December 9th, and if you are interested in being a table hostess, which I am so excited about, I don't know if you guys have done it in Vista before where everybody or somebody is in charge of like decorating a table, but we did that in Paris one year and it was so awesome. I mean, the way that these tables turned out and the way that the women just poured over their tables, it was the sweetest, sweetest time. So if you're interested in that, Marissa Kotbach will be in the courtyard after services, Sunday only, not Wednesday in the spooky courtyard. And she'll be out there to talk to you guys about it and let you know what is more involved, because it's not just decorating a table. We're looking for women who have the heart for the women who will be sitting at the tables. the heart for the women to minister to them, to pray over the women that will be sitting there as they're decorating. So another great outreach opportunity too, as well, to start thinking about who you guys might want to invite. And if you missed a study, or if you wanted to share a study with somebody, I wanted to let you guys know that they are available on our Calvary website. It's calvaryvista.com, and it's at the women's ministry page, and it's at the current study. Sorry. Also, you can pray for me this weekend, and you can pray for Margie this weekend, because we both have conferences going on. Margie has a truly beautiful women's conference going on in, I know you told me where, Fallbrook, very hard to remember, such a crazy place, you know, can't remember it. She has it going on in Fallbrook, and then I have a women's conference going on in Paris, and I would love prayer for that. I would love prayer for my kids as they're with their daddy here. But really fast, as I was praying for you guys this morning, in Jeremiah, it said, Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. And the fact that we're called by his name, it was just amazing me this morning. And I just felt like God put that on my heart to tell you guys tonight that he's proud to have you called by his name. You know, are you ever with those people and they're being like extremely loud or extremely rude or bossy and you just kind of want to step away and pretend like you're not associated with them? And I think that that's how God should be toward me. I imagine him like dying for me and then kind of stepping away. I don't know who she belongs to. And that's what I say about my kids. I see them running through the halls and I'm like, where are those kids' parents? And I think that that's how God should view me most of the time. And the fact that he would not only give us his word to eat, but the fact that he would allow us and desire us to be called by his name is amazing. And I just want to let you guys know that tonight, that he wants you to be called by his name. He wants everybody to know that you belong to him. He wants everybody to know that he's your Savior. So let's pray for the night. Lord, you are so gracious and so good. And as we read in Proverbs, it's your heart to conceal a matter, and it's the king's heart to search out a matter. And Lord, as you are the God of all secrets, Lord, may we search out who you are. May we know, even though we can't even begin to fathom the depths and the riches and the mercies of you, and your ways are high and deep and far beyond our finding out, but Lord, may we find out as much as we possibly humanly can. God, may we get our shovels and may we start digging into the wealth of your knowledge, the treasure of your wisdom. Lord, the fact that you would want us to be called by your name, God, it amazes us. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. We're so blessed by you, gracious Lord. Please bless this night. Bless Margie as she teaches. Thank you, God, for blessing us with just your amazing word, Lord, and so many amazing teachers. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Well, and before we started tonight, I just wanted to read two verses or three verses. It has to do with building our life on the rock. And it says, Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. And there's two houses up there. One is built on the rock and one is built on the sand. And, you know, just being in love with God's word, that is a heart that we should have. But, you know, it is what holds our life together. And so we just wanted to share that with you and then also sing this song. It's really easy. Same words.
Home on that rock, home on that rock, and never gonna leave it. Home on that rock,
home on that rock,
home on that rock to stay. Home, home, home on that rock, and I'm never gonna leave it. Home, home, home on that rock to stay. I get up to read the Bible each and every day. I pray by the Holy Spirit, help me to obey. Home on that rock,
home on that rock,
home on that rock, and I'm never gonna leave it. Home on that rock, home on that rock to stay. Home, home, home on that rock, and I'm never gonna leave it. Home, home, home on that rock to stay.
You guys pray with me. Lord Jesus, God, I thank you that we can build our lives on the rock, God, that you are that solid rock. Lord, I pray for the women in this room, God, that their hearts would be just desiring, Lord, your word and your truth in their life, God. And I just thank you that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ask or think, God, that that you are our righteousness, God, that you are our truth, that you are our peace, that you are our Savior. You are just amazing, God, and mighty. And I just thank you, God, that you make us your daughters by Jesus, by his sacrifice, Lord. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come, God, and just fill this place, Lord, and that you would be high and lifted up, God, and you would be glorified, Lord. And again, just thank you so much for this night, and we love you. In Jesus' name.
I wait for by the grace in his eyes. His grace is an ocean we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss. And my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way, oh, how he loves us, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us, oh, and he loves.
To my knees, Lord, I lay me down. I just thank you, Father, because you are so good, Lord. I thank you for your presence here, Father, because I know it's felt. And I pray for each and every person here, Father, that you would help us all to draw closer to you, because you are so good. You are mighty. You are powerful, Father. So I pray right now that you anoint Margie, Father, that you make our hearts soft, that we can hear every word that you have to say of it, that none of it falls on hard ground, Father. So I just lift that up in Jesus' name. Amen.
So beautiful. Hey! And so perfect for tonight's message, that we would be women who are building our houses on the rock and taking those steps in our lives to become Titus women with the Word of God as our foundation. I have been so excited as I have been preparing for you. God is so good to me. Just me, of course, right? To give me this evening to share my most favorite passage of Scripture and also my farewell words to you as my sisters in Christ. The last opportunity this Bible study to teach you before I move on to Virginia. I've been practicing this a lot without crying. I've already cried about 20 times, so God's got me covered. But I really wanted to tell you that the message I'm going to share with you tonight is not not that all our messages are not powerful from God's word, but I believe it is a word that he is speaking to us today. It is an important word. And as a messenger of God, he has called me last year to exhort women to take their place as Titus 2s. And I just want you to take tonight's message to heart. And if there were any last words that I could share with you of wisdom, it would be exactly what I have for you tonight. So let's pray and get started. Lord, I just give you all the praise and glory as I look out this room at these beautiful women, each that have touched my life in so many miraculous ways. I just pray, God, that your word, your message, Lord, would just convince and convict and exhort and encourage. I pray, Lord, that you would move me out of the way, that your word to your daughters here who you love so much would be welcomed into their minds and heart. And even more importantly than that, God, they would be put into practice. That there'd be no more time wasted, Lord. that tonight would be one of those landmark moments in the book of Titus, that it would go from their heart, Lord, to their everyday walk. And I just, again, God, give you all the glory for my wonderful years here at Calvary Vista. And thank you that I have had the opportunity to be a part of so many of these women's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So open your Bibles to Titus 2, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 5. And tonight's message is called God's Beautiful Design for Women. God's Beautiful Design for Women. I'm just going to say hi to the date groups while you're turning there, and hi to the women who are watching online. Titus 2, 1 to 5. Lord, thank you for your word. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience, the older women likewise in the same manner, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Well, as we come together tonight, there is one truth we can all agree on, and that is that we are not getting any younger. Amen? I realized that at the Pastor's Wives Retreat as I walked with Michelle Williamson around campus. That girl is so fast. And Christy Duff, their energy level, I was just quickly realized that, yes, I'm not getting any younger. Aging is a part of life, isn't it? Time never stands still. It just keeps moving right along. And as it races by quickly, so does our youthfulness. And while you and I have no choice over this aging process, we do have a choice as to how we will age. And God's greatest beauty secret is found in 2 Corinthians 4:16. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you, and it's mentioned on your outline. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward woman is perishing, isn't she? I don't know about you, but it takes me a little longer to get out of bed in the morning. Yet the inward woman is being renewed day by day. Woohoo is right. I may be 56 years old physically, but spiritually I am growing younger every day. So the question becomes not what kind of person I used to be, but what kind of person am I becoming? It's an important question. And I'm sure that as you've already discovered from this study, you are being challenged to consider answers to that question. What kind of woman am I becoming? I would suggest to you that as we age and see the rapid decline of Christian values, morals, and principles, our young women desperately need role models to emulate. Women they can look at to see God's grace worked out in everyday life. They need to witness Christian maturity, not just spoken about, but lived out. Now we know that as Paul went about instructing Titus to set things in order in the church of Crete, he knew all too well how vital these relationships were to a healthy church. And we are learning that he was a man whose priority was to raise up young men in the faith. I believe if Paul were here with us today, he would be reigniting this Titus truth in the heart of the church, For to a great degree in the church at large, ministry to the young and older is done independently of each other, when biblically that is not the example that we are encouraged to follow, is it? Darlene Check, Hillsong worship leader and very much a serious mentor in her own right, raising up hundreds of young worship leaders. She has a new book she authored, which I've loved reading and I highly recommend. It's called The Art of Mentoring, Embracing the Great Generational Transition. I was so excited to see this book at this time because books, words on the radio, everyone is pointing to this Titus example. It is a word that God is speaking to his church, and he's confirmed it in my heart in I don't know how many ways and through how many people. But it is clearly that God wants to revive the Titus relationship. And I want to read to you just something that Darlene wrote. Tension between older and younger generations has always existed, especially in the church. We have struggled with this for years, building up resentments and crippling those on both sides of the fight. And here is the key. We resist the thought that emerging, meaning our up-and-coming young women, and established leaders can and must work together. But these are critical days, and the church needs large-hearted leadership willing to move beyond personal struggles and emotional triggers for the sake of others. It needs passionate, relational leaders willing to mentor and to be mentored, to give a thriving, living legacy to future generations. Why is this message important for you and me on October 10th, 2011? Because although Paul instructed Titus, we know that the pages of Scripture are God-breathed. And Titus 2:1-5 speaks of God's beautiful design for women, because there is nothing more attractive, nothing more fragrant, nothing more beautiful to God than a woman who matures spiritually, who ages gracefully, who is full of the Holy Spirit, willing to teach and invest her life in the younger woman. My words cannot express the gratitude and thankfulness that I have in my heart to Jesus for my new life in Christ and his fruitful plan and purpose for me as I age. It wasn't until an older woman noticed me and invited me to my first women's conference and invested in my life that God's purpose for my life began to unfold. I will never forget it. The conference was called Becoming a Woman of Influence. It was life-changing for me and responsible for inspiring me and giving me the courage to start the Women's Ministry Connection, which has impacted 45 churches and women all over North County, which God is even now expanding my sphere of influence to outside of California. And this is why I partnered up with Debbie Bryson for the Call Conference. Our hearts are to encourage, equip, and empower women to walk worthy of the call and abundantly live out God's purpose and plan for their lives. We are intentionally inviting young women to join us and offering workshops to help them discover their gifts and learn about godly leadership. We also want to encourage that older woman that maybe has been sitting on the sidelines for far too long, afraid to jump in. There will be workshops for her too, as well as for the seasoned leader. And if we allow them to, sisters, these conferences can be life-changing, and they can move us out of our comfort zones and into the race. You can sign up tonight, right after this study, to answer God's call and be at the call. Teachers that are going to be there are amazing. They have years of life experience, and they are still in the trenches ministering to women. And you will be equipped in these workshops and through the main messages to do exactly what it is that God has called you to do. I can stand here tonight and confess and testify to you from my own personal life that living as a Titus II woman produces a rich, fruitful, and rewarding life that has major eternal impact for the kingdom. And the good news is that God's design for women is available and within every woman's reach. Every single woman here tonight, watching online, the Titus II, God's design, is available for you. And in an age where the family unit has been hit hard and is struggling to survive, how more important does our Titus ministry become? God is amazing. He knew before the world came into existence that these dark days we find ourselves would be in here, and that Titus II would be even more important to us today, to the woman today of 2011. In a culture where the value of a wife taking care of her husband and home is demeaned, who will speak value into the lives of our young married women if it's not us? In a culture where purity and discretion are disappearing from our vocabularies, where will a single young woman find her way? In a culture where single moms are working and trying to parent and provide for their children, how does she possibly do that on her own without the help of an older woman and her church? And in a culture where the world is creeping into the church itself, where can a young woman look and find a role model? Someone who will set the example for her to walk in. Where are the older women? It's a good question. I believe they're sitting in the pews of our churches, and the time has come to reignite the fire of the Titus II and exhort her to take her place. And to the young women that are here tonight, the young woman today, that she would embrace and welcome an older woman's wisdom and life lessons into her life. I am blessed that even now as we meet here tonight, there are Titus groups meeting in homes where some of our leadership right now are teaching these young women how to sew and sharing the Word of God with them through Bible study. We are blessed that our pastor's wife, Denise, understands the importance of this command. Yet our church finds itself in a serious place where we have a huge lack of junior high and high school counselors. We have a huge lack in both our Saturday and Sunday children's ministry. This is a shame and should not be the case in a church of our size that understands the commands of Titus. These are influential moments in the lives of our children, and we should have waiting lists for people to get involved. What keeps us from this eternal investment? I want to go over some of those things tonight, and I really want you to consider them deeply in your heart. First, relationships take time. It's a matter of time. You know, the doing of ministry comes so much easier than the investment of lives. Investing in someone's life takes time. We are to be redeeming the time, the Bible says, because the days are evil. To where and what is your time going to? How much of your life is invested in relationships with women younger than you? It's a good question. It's a good time to take a look at time. We are all so busy. We almost pride ourselves on being busy. But if we don't have time for people, then we are doing a great injustice to God's command for us to be Titus women. Second, I believe it's fear. How do we relate? What do I have in common? You know, the older woman and younger woman may be deceived by this lie that they have nothing in common with each other. but we share the Holy Spirit, don't we? And the desire to be more Christ-like. And as women, we have much in common, regardless of our age differences. I was so blessed to write up to Pastor's Wife's Conference with Christy Duff, and I don't know how much younger she is than me, but it's years and years and years. But we were just like having the best fellowship on the way up to the conference. Our hearts were in the same place. We were stirring one another to love and good works. And third, you may believe, as you might have contemplated in your study this week, that you have nothing to offer. This is a lie from the pit of hell. Because your life experiences, wisdom gleaned just from your own right and wrong decisions made in your life, may be a treasure for someone who could benefit from what you've learned. Or fourth, perhaps you believe the qualifications listed here disqualify you. Now that could be true of your life. My exhortation to you is it's time to get serious about your walk, because there are women that need you. If you have not yet been healed by the Lord, if there is anything holding you back, if there's a sin that you are cherishing, I ask you tonight to lay it down and to give your life completely and wholly to Jesus Christ, because we need you on the front lines. Women need you. It's time to get over yourself. There's a greater cause. Remember, I tell you, I say that to myself all the time, Margie, get over yourself. But what are the characteristics? You looked at them this week of a Titus 2 woman. There's six we're going to talk about tonight. And I believe Mary Ann's bringing it next week. Right, Mary Ann? She's going to go through the rest of that one verse that you're meditating on this week. And oh, wow, do you have a week ahead of you. Be honest with yourself this week. That's all I'm going to say. Well, I love the King James Version of Titus 2, 3 and 4, and I'm going to read that to you. That the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, that's not in the New King James, to love their husbands, to love their children. Number one, behavior as becometh holiness. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. In other words, Titus 2 women live lives that reflect the identity that they have in Jesus Christ. They live lives that are consistent with who God has made them in Christ. The inner identity, their confidence of who they are in Jesus, flows forth into the way that they live their life. It's very interesting as you study the words here. This behavior spoken about has a root meaning of being priest-like. Women were to carry into daily life the demeanor of the priests in the temple and to be godly examples of holiness. I want to read to you about one of those women in the Bible. I love reading about her. Her name is Anna, and she can be found in Luke verses 2:36-38. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. 84 years! Who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. 84 years old. That gives us something to look forward to. This verse also has a slight reference to dress, or the way that a woman carries herself. It speaks of modesty. Now, my personal Titus offering to the Lord has been the message he gave me for Truly Beautiful. I can tell you from talking and sharing and crying and praying with many young women that they are desperate for the understanding of who they are in Jesus Christ. They come from broken homes. They come with experiences they should know nothing about at their young ages. And they come already deeply wounded from life. I wish that you were here or there with me to hear some of these stories. They would break your heart. And at every conference, our goal as they come forward is to connect them with an older woman who can pour into their life. But in order to do that, this older woman needs to know who she is in Christ, right? She needs to have the Word of God in her, flowing through her, that confidence that the Word brings as we minister to other women. And number two, the Titus woman is not to be a false accuser. Sisters, refuse to partake in slander and gossip. This is a serious issue for women, and a serious warning. False accusers can actually be translated devil. When we are spreading gossip, we are doing the devil's work. We are doing the devil's work. Ask yourself a few questions tonight. Are you careful in your conversations at home with your children, in your workplace, or after church on Sunday? Ephesians 4:29 is a verse that we need to take to heart. And I found a version, the Wymouth New Testament version. I just really liked the wording of this, and it says, "Let no unwholesome words ever pass your lips, but let all your words be good for benefiting others according to the need of the moment." Isn't that beautiful? According to the need of the moment. That means that in any given situation, you have good words to speak into that situation, into that woman's life, into your family's life. That you are intentional about bringing a good word into the situation. Why? So that those words may be of blessing to the hearers. What about the way, for those of us that are married, we talk to our husbands? I'm as guilty as you are. Those moments where we give in to our flesh. Let's not pretend like they don't exist. But really think about it, that you can impart blessing. In one of the translations, it says grace to the hearer just by the words that you speak. And number three, not given to much wine. Titus 2 women live in the sufficiency of Christ, not alcohol or any other substance. They don't handle their problems artificially, but face them head on through Christ. And here's the key. They can successfully deal with the problems of life through God's word and are able to teach others how to do that very same thing. And I'm not judging. Everything is permissible, but not beneficial. But I can tell you that alcohol has made its way back into the church. And I just ask you to pray about that and consider it in your life if it's really necessary. It has taken many a woman down many a dark road. And if you have it in your history, you cannot handle it. The enemy's going to use that to pull you right back where you've been. That's just my personal encouragement to you, my sisters, who I love. because I have spent many hours of counseling women that thought that they could have just that one drink and ended up with a lot of destruction in their life. So that's just my personal exhortation to you. But it really is, what they're talking about here is in the Cretan church, we learned a little bit about the background. Drinking wine was just prevalent. It was everywhere. And to drunkenness. So that's why Paul addresses it. It's interesting to me that we need to address it again. But it is that confidence of dealing with life's problems through the Word of God. And four, teachers of good things. This is my favorite part of this verse. We can all be teachers of good things. It doesn't just mean Bible study, does it? We can have a teaching ministry among the younger ladies. You can invite a younger woman over and teach her how to cook your favorite dessert or your favorite dinner. All of us have gifts. You can teach a younger woman that. You can teach her how to raise her children. You can teach her how to be a good mom. There are so many opportunities to be teachers of good things. But the key in that is we don't want to be teachers or role models of bad things, do we? We want to be those that are teaching good things that will edify and uplift women and glorify God. And five, admonish young women to love their husbands. It's really interesting here, and I really think there's some misunderstanding with this verse because of the way we in the English language translate admonish. It's like warn, be mean. It's not a good word. And I think that younger women probably have issue with this too. It's like, oh great, that's what I want. Is an older woman just coming down on me, getting mad at me, getting angry with me? That's not what this means. And I love the definition. It means to restore one to her senses. That's exactly what it means. I looked it up in the concordance. So when she loses her mind with her kids or her husband, you're going to be able to restore her back to her senses, right? It's a good thing. It also means to hold on to one's duty. So you're encouraging her to stick with it. It also means to help her be moderate and in control, to look at life with an eternal perspective and a balance. And this is the way that we are to admonish them, and especially as mothers and wives. And you know what? The thing about the church is, that saddens my heart today, is this was to be exemplified and taught by the older women in the church. Family life, that's what God wanted us to do. But where are they getting their information from today? Where are our young women getting their information? They turn on Oprah, magazines. I mean, even Good Housekeeping magazine is becoming more daring. Desperate Housewives, there you go. So the better question is, where are you getting your information today? As a wife, as a mother, as a single woman, where are you getting your information of how to live your life? I hope it's from the Word of God. I hope it's from the Word of God, because that's what you need to be passing on. And the Titus role really does begin in the home. And whether you are a single woman in your home, or you are a married woman in your home, that Titus role, as it's made in your home, is then going to make its way out of your home and into real life and into the lives of other people. And as you want to be women, single or married, that invite women into your home, that home should reflect God. That home should bring glory to God. And for the Titus women, you know, this life doesn't happen by accident. It is intentional. That's our new word for this year, intentional. As she realizes God's design for her life, she builds these things into her life over time. And I guarantee you, slowly but surely, as she ages, her life should be bearing more and more and more fruit. And it is awesome. It is awesome. Are you a Titus too? You know, the passage does not give a specific age for the older women who are to disciple the younger women. Given the content of what they are to teach, the Titus II woman's main qualifications would seem to center on spiritual maturity. Of course, the older you get, the wiser you should be. Chronological age provides life experiences and perspectives that are valuable because these women have walked in it. But the reality is that every Christian woman and girl should consider herself an older and a younger woman. We should seek out women who can encourage and equip us to live for God's glory, even as we seek to disciple other women in biblical womanhood. What does this Titus II relationship look like in real life? The relationship comes in all shapes and sizes. That's what's so amazing about it. There is no formula. A Titus II relationship may be regular or once in a while. It might consist of two people or a group. It could occur between older women or young women. But every Titus II relationship will be purposeful. It will be purposeful. It will be an intentional effort to encourage and equip another woman or girl to live for God's glory by living under the authority of God's word, and it will train her in biblical principles of womanhood. And the important thing that you need to know about this, sisters, it's not a program, it's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle, a beautiful design that God planned long ago to guarantee us the abundant life that he promised us here on earth that would be rich with eternal impact and influence. And one of the very special young women that God brought in my life is Marissa Kovac. And she was helping me, currently helping me in ministry, and has put a beautiful video together for us tonight. It's a glimpse of some of the special relationships that I have enjoyed being a part of during the 9 years that I've been here with you all, and some of the Titus ministry that is happening right here in our women's ministry. Little did I know, as her and I were putting this together, that this would touch my heart so much as the Lord leads me on to Virginia. But it doesn't really matter where I go or where you go, because the Titus ministry awaits us wherever we go, doesn't it? I pray that you quickly notice from this video that ministry is all about investing your life into the lives of others. Our God is a God of relationship, and he wouldn't have it any other way. Don't waste your life on anything else. Purpose to be a Titus II. After the video, if we have time, I have a few things I want to give away and some departing words, but let's watch the video.
Thank you.
this back on? Oh, good. I've actually been on this the whole night, didn't even know it. I hope you enjoyed that. I just want you to know that there are so many other more women that I've had the opportunity, and they're not just faces. I've shared a slice of life. I've shared a slice of life with these women, and you know what? They will always be with me no matter where I go. They will always be on my heart. I will always be praying for them. We'll always be knitted. There's nothing like that. So take the time to invest. Take the time. And I just wanted to give you some fun things that I like to give young women that I mentor. It's give the older women some ideas, and actually to leave some of you with things that are precious to me. First of all, I'd like the youngest woman attending Bible study. And can I have some of the table leaders to help hand these things, because it'll go quicker that way? Who is the youngest woman here? Let's say 18. 20. Huh? How old are you? 13. Come on up here. Oh, you don't have to come up, but stand up. So, my Titus 2 to you, at your beautiful young age of 13, is to keep a journal. And that as you're in God's word, let it speak to you. Share your heart with him in that journal, okay? All right, thank you. Wow. This one is really funny. A single woman who has a new home and invites other singles over to encourage them. Who is she? Who could she be? Reached out to single women and invested her life in encouraging them and drawing them together to stir one another to love and good works. And this says, share faith, offer prayer, gather hope. And that's what you have done. And that is specifically for you. You are welcome. Okay. The oldest woman. Now remember, if you're the oldest, you're really the youngest. Remember? So the oldest woman here tonight. Come on. Let's say 60. Over 60. Is it Julie? Julie, how old are you? 69? I never knew. Oh, there's someone older. 69 and a half. Okay, we got to go birthdays here. Is she closer? All right, my friend. Well, this is one of my secrets. You probably need to maybe mix up your quiet time once in a while. I love to light a candle, and this is pumpkin spice for the season, and have my devotions with the Lord by candlelight. Okay. Do I have a young single woman here that is a relatively new believer? Oh, someone's pointing at you. Okay, wow. Don't be afraid. Okay. Well, my friend, if you have not known the story of Ruth, it is a great story in the Bible that will bless you and encourage you. So here is the book of Ruth, Journey of Faith, just for you.
Invite some other girls over to watch it.
Okay. Is there a woman in the room who's discipling two or more women right now? Oh, Josefina, now it's come to get you. Okay. I have some wonderful little reminders for women to put in their purses. There's one for you and for the two you're discipling. One is kindness, remember to be kind, to remember to believe, and to remember to have hope. These are for you. Okay, who's the woman that loves to cook and is willing to invite a group over and share a special recipe? Oh, her hand went up first. Okay, these are the cutest recipe cards. They are to die for, so that you can hand out all your favorite recipes. Thank you. Okay, is there anyone here who's desiring to be a worship leader in the future? Anybody that's been praying about that? Boy, that table's busy over there. She already got a prize. How about anybody that is just praying over stepping out in ministry and taking a big leap of faith? Shannon. All right. What are you going to do? Wow. Wow. Yay. Shine for Jesus. Well, this is a worship. She's writing a book. That's awesome. And she's also going to Toastmasters to learn how to be a speaker. So you will be hearing from her in the future. So Shannon, I pass on to you this worship CD. Worship, ladies, in your own home is the greatest way to spend time with Jesus. Dance around the house. Glorify him. Enjoy your time and worship him. There you go. Okay. Is there a mother... daughter here tonight? Cherie and Janine? And there's other ones. Well, that's okay. I have enough. I have enough for Charla and... Okay. Oh, my goodness. Here. What are we going to do? I have three left, so I'm going to give one to each mother-daughter that's here, and then you guys can decide who gets to keep it. But I just wanted to share, it's wonderful to put up scripture in your home. I'm looking forward to doing that in Virginia, in my new home. Victory belongs to the Lord, this says. And then, of course, who can have their quiet time without coffee? A cute coffee mug really goes well in the morning with your time with Jesus. And then, of course, the Message translation. It's not really a translation. It's a paraphrase. But it's nice to have different paraphrases and translations around to glean more understanding from God's word. Amen? All right. Thank you all. I'll let you guys pass these out accordingly.
Ladies?
Oh, no.
I know. You know, ladies, it's time to make Margie cry.
No.
If we could have your attention, please.
I'm trying so hard not to do that tonight.
Janine, could you come on up? Gals, before we get into our time of table discussion on the awesome word that we received from the Lord through Margie tonight, Though this is hardly the last you've heard of Margie Hill. Amen?
Amen.
We are going to pray for her tonight as the Lord leads her out from us for a little while. I'm sure she'll be back to share with us. I'm praying that way. And so, and God always answers my prayers.
He's good to you too.
And when she said that, I went, wow. I think he might just have enough goodness to go all the way around. So, but would you please join me as we pray for our sister?
Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we do come before you as women rejoicing with joy in our heart and gladness and thanksgiving and laughter on our lips, Lord, for the goodness that just is pouring out from heaven onto each one of us today, Lord. And we especially pray tonight that you would just pour a mighty outpouring of grace, power, might, love, peace, joy, and every good and perfect gift upon our sister Margie. Lord, I pray that as you lead her from this ministry into new ministry, that you would just pave the way for her, Lord, that your footsteps would indeed be her pathway, that she could see clearly the way that you are leading her to go. I pray, God, that you would just establish her in her new home, in a new role, in a new church, with new friends and new opportunities, that you would help her, Lord, to find those kindred spirits there that she's found here. And that, Lord, you would just enable her in every way to continue to shine for you, to bring glory to your name, to lift you up and make you known, and to strengthen the sisters in the faith, God. We love her. We thank you for every minute that we've had with her, every word that she's shared, every tear that she's cried, and every prayer that she's prayed. We love her, Lord, and our love goes with her. And we pray, God, that she would have just an amazing, abundant sense of your love for her as well. And we just commit her to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.